Well, good morning. So good to be together again in this space and to just have this time to gather to worship together in Christ's name. Amen. When we talk about witness formation, we're actually talking about the call of Jesus to spread his name by effectively telling others about him and how he has given us new life and new purpose. Perhaps you've heard the axiom around here, we gather to worship, we scatter to witness. Not that those things exist independent of each other. In fact, they are actually interdependent upon one another. In today's message, we see the interaction of worship and witness. In fact, worship is at the heart of all of the four formative practices which we have been talking about over the last several weeks. It is in Psalm 145 we especially see this connection between worship and witness. I pray that as we dig into this passage together today, that it will serve as a witness to you and be both instructional and motivational, in that it will elevate you and I to want to tell somebody about the greatness and the goodness of the Lord. We conclude our formation series with a message entitled, "You Ought to Tell Somebody." You ought to tell somebody. Why don't you tell your neighbor you ought to tell somebody? Psalm 145 is one of the Psalms of David, and it's a song of praise. And unfortunately, in our English translation, we fail to see that this psalm is an acrostic psalm, that actually each verse begins with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Again, this is a psalm of praise, and as the psalm unfolds, the psalm is very progressive in nature, in that it begins with an individual praise, and it moves out to an intergenerational praise, and ultimately it explodes into this corporate praise of every creature giving praise to our God. Psalm 145 begins, and it says, "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." In those first three verses, I just want to highlight this idea and challenge you as you are being formed as a witness of Christ to praise God daily. Praise God daily for his unfathomable greatness, his unfathomable greatness. I'm still working on it. Praise him anyhow. Praise God daily. Look at the scripture. It says, "I will exalt him, lift him high. I will praise him. I will barak him, bless him." This idea of barak is to bow down in humble submission to him. I will barak him. It says, I will extol him, halal. I will boast of his name and his goodness. These key verbs in the first three scriptures just demonstrates how praise is flowing out of the lips of the psalmist. It's bursting with praise. It's a call for you and I every single day, no matter how difficult life is, no matter how challenging things are. It is a call for us to daily praise God. Why ought we praise him every day? Well, the psalmist begins to give us reasons. Reasons that we can praise God on a daily basis. Reasons why we can bear witness to his goodness, because he says he is worthy. The text says, because of his greatness, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness, no one can even fathom. His greatness is so great that we can't even imagine and understand. It's unfathomable. His greatness exceeds our own understanding. And he says that we ought to praise him daily because he's worthy of the praise. And sometimes in difficult moments, sometimes in heartache, sometimes when you don't understand what God is doing in your life, you fail to remember that he's worthy of praise. And the psalmist just says, hey, look around, pay attention, look at how great our God is. He says, praise him daily for his unfathomable greatness. Look at verse 4. It says, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. Second idea here as we look at these few verses is this idea that we're called as witnesses to proclaim his great and mighty deeds. Proclaim his great and mighty deeds from generation to generation. As I look over this and I think about the mighty works of God's hands, as I think about his power, as I think about his glorious splendor, as I think about his wonderful works, I look at creation and I see the mighty work of God. When I look at you and I and I see the intricate detail that God took in the creation of humanity, I see the mighty work of God. When I hear your story of God coming in and changing your life, I see the mighty work of God. When I hear of your struggles and your difficulties and how God brought you through, I see the mighty work of God. And the psalmist, as he declares the greatness of God, as he proclaims the goodness of God, I'm certain that he's thinking about the Exodus story. Because the Exodus story is by far the grandest redemptive story in the history of Israel. And as they understand this grand redemptive story, God reminds them to continue to remember how the Lord their God brought them out of Egypt. And he tells them as part of their history, as part of their witness, as part of their responsibility, God tells his people to share the story of redemption from generation to generation. And surely the psalmist, as he is thinking about the mighty works of God and thinking about his redemptive power and how God was at work in the lives of the people of Israel and throughout their history, certainly he was looking at the Exodus experience. And God tells them to pass the word on to future generations. You ought to tell the story of how God brought us out. You ought to tell the story of how God made a way out of no way. You ought to tell the story how God caused you to apply blood over the doorpost and how the death angel came and wiped out the firstborn of all of Egypt and how God opened the pathway in the midst of the Red Sea and allowed you to walk on dry ground. You ought to tell the story to the next generation so that the story would not be lost and that people would be able to proclaim the goodness and the greatness of God. Unfortunately, somewhere in the process, we have forgotten, we have failed to pass on the story to the next generation. And we live in a culture right now where people know less and less about God today because the people of God have been silent and have made a decision to disengage from the culture and to disengage from the world, and in some ways not even passing on the story of the great redemptive work that God has done in their lives. As we proclaim the greatness of God from generation to generation, we not only have to tell the next generation about how God worked in the life of Israel, how he did this grand redemptive work in the Exodus, we have to tell how God has been at work in our lives today. And so the redemptive story of Israel is simply a picture of the greatest redemptive story where Jesus Christ came, saved our souls, changed our lives in every place where sin brought brokenness and woundedness and destruction. The work of Jesus Christ fills into every crevice and crack and every broken space and brings redemption. Everything that was lost in the fall is being made new by Jesus Christ right now. In this moment, every place where there was brokenness, every life, every opportunity where there was brokenness, Jesus Christ has brought redemption. And you and I, as followers of Christ, ought to proclaim his great and mighty deeds from generation to generation. We ought to tell somebody. And we've got to tell our children not only the story of the Bible, not only the story of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, but what about the gospel according to Artie Lindsay? What about the gospel according to Diane? What about the gospel, your own experience with God? You've got to tell somebody. Are you listening to me? The passage goes on, verse 7, it says, they celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. As we're growing as witnesses, we're challenged here in these few verses to celebrate enthusiastically the abundant goodness of God. Enthusiastically, people of God. Does that characterize our praise toward God? Does that characterize our witness of who God is and how good he is? Enthusiastically celebrate the abundant goodness of God. I love in these few verses how the psalmist begins to rehearse the character of Yahweh. He begins to rehearse the character of Yahweh. He begins to reflect on who God is. And this is essential. This is essential for us to understand that God is good. It is essential for us to understand that no matter what is going on around you, God is good. God is good. God is compassionate. God is gracious. God is slow to anger. God is rich in love. The scripture tells us this over and over and over again. When Moses said to God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. When God moved and passed in front of Moses, it was in that moment that Yahweh revealed to him that God is slow to anger, compassionate and gracious, abounding in love and faithfulness. He says, God, show me your glory. God says, I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to let you know who I am. And the psalmist reflects on that. The psalmist declares this goodness of God, this abundant goodness of God. He is compassionate to all of those he has made. I'm just going to give you several scriptures. This is all throughout scripture. Numbers 14, 18. 2 Chronicles 30 and 9. Nehemiah 9, 17, 31, 32. Psalm 86, 15, Psalm 103, verse 8, Joel 2, 13, Jonah 4, 2. Jonah's a funny one. Jonah is a funny one. Jonah gets upset because Jonah doesn't want to be a witness for God. Jonah gets upset. He says, I don't want to tell them about you. And here's why I don't want to tell them about you. Because you're compassionate and loving and slow to anger. I don't want them to know about you because then they'll repent and you'll accept them and receive them. We have to proclaim and celebrate the abundant goodness of God. He is good to all. He is good to all. The grace of God flows. There's this thing called common good. That God is at work and even doing good things for people who could care less about him. God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. And you and I ought to have some joy about that. There is reason to celebrate enthusiastically about the goodness of God. Even when your heart is weighed down heavy, he's still good. Do I have a witness in the house? The next few verses, I'm going to start at verse 10 as it says, all your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. Here again, people celebrating God and praising him and lifting him high. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. So that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises. As we look at those few verses, again, as witnesses, we have to speak up. This is point four. Speak up. So that the world will know about his power and his everlasting kingdom. We have to speak up so that the world will know. Because the world is without knowledge. The world is without understanding of who God is. The world is desiring to hear about this God who is good. The world is desiring to know the truth about the one true and living God. This psalmist is calling us to speak up about his power, to speak up about what God is able to do and what he has done. Tell of his glory. Speak of his might. They need to know his mighty acts and his glory and the glorious splendor of his kingdom. People need to know that the kingdom of God is eternal, and that God's dominion, that means his rule and his reign, is forever. Why is that important? Why is that important? You know what? Kingdoms will come and go. Kingdoms on this earth will come and go, but the kingdom of Christ will remain and stand forever. In fact, Jesus, when he came and walked on the earth, he says that my kingdom is now breaking through into the human reality and the human experience, and the kingdom of God is now present. Well, where is the kingdom of God? It's wherever the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ is, and the text tells us that his reign extends throughout all. Over the entire world. Babylon came and went. Assyria came and went. Egypt came and went. Guess what? Rome came and went. Kingdoms and empires will rise and fall, but the kingdom of Christ will live and extend throughout all generations. Good God Almighty. Somebody ought to praise him in the midst of that, and that is why we have to tell somebody. We ought to tell them, we ought to tell them, we ought to tell them that there is a kingdom that we can be a part of. We now live in the already and not yet kingdom of Jesus Christ. And in the already and not yet kingdom of Christ, there is possibilities. We look at what can happen in the already and not yet kingdom of Christ, and we long for what will happen when that kingdom will consummate itself here on earth. It's a kingdom that we've got to speak up about and let somebody know about his power and his everlasting kingdom. My final point, last point. Here's what the text says, starting at 13b. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises. And I want you in your text, I want you to just begin to highlight these verbs and adjectives that describe the character of God. Because this psalmist is challenging you and I as witnesses to tell others about the faithful character of God. That we ought to tell others about the faithful character of God. Look at what he says. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. The Lord upholds all who fall. He lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, Lord, and look at what he does. He gives them their food at the proper time. All his gift we talked about last week. His hand is open to satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous. You want to know what's right? Look at the Lord. Everything he does is righteous. Righteous in all his ways. He's faithful in all he does. Here it is. Here's a great promise. The Lord is near. He's near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry. And what else? He saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. Watches over them. That means he takes intimate care. There is a proximity in his care for you. But all the wicked he will destroy. He brings judgment. And then the psalmist concludes by saying, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. My mouth will speak in Barak. My mouth will speak in Tehillah of the Lord. That's a song of praise. He says, let every creature Barak his name. Let every creature fall down in submission to his name forever and ever. I want to take you to Revelation chapter 4. Because the text says that we ought to tell others about the faithful character of God. And where the psalmist declares that every creature is worshiping and will worship the Lamb. Every creature will bow down before God. Here again, the psalmist started with this individual commitment. And he ended with this idea of every creature giving him praise. Look at what the text says. It says, day and night, they never stopped saying. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings, four living creatures. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. If the living creatures before God in the throne room of God can give him praise and acknowledge that he's worthy, then you and I who have experienced the redemptive power of Jesus Christ ought to join in the chorus and sing praise to our God. We ought to have a Tehillah praise for our God. So here, if I were a preacher who could sing, I'm not going to, but if I were a preacher who could sing, in this moment I would sing a Tehillah praise to our God. So I went back throughout history. I went back to a time when I was younger in my faith and learning to follow Jesus. And there were some songs that I learned at Synagogue Baptist Church under Barbara Thomas, the minister of music. And it was, said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Said I wasn't going to shout for joy, but I couldn't keep it to myself. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. Do I have a witness in the house? I thought about this fact that you ought to have been there. When my name was put on the roll, you ought to have been there when he saved my soul. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ought to have been there when he put my name on the roll. But I, hallelujah, said I wasn't going to tell nobody. But I couldn't keep it to myself. And then I thought about this song, I Must Tell of the Goodness of the Lord. He stepped into my life, removed all misery and strife, gave me a new determination. He's the Lord of my salvation. I must tell of the goodness of the Lord. Somebody ought to tell somebody. Somebody ought to tell somebody We ought to have a Tehillah praise as a part of our witness. Do I have a witness in the house? People of God, we got to stop being silent. Stop being silent. And we ought to tell somebody of the goodness and the greatness of our God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Bless the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the beauty of your word, for the challenge of your word, and for the intersection between witness and worship, and the opportunity to give you the praise. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid to tell people about your goodness and to tell others about your greatness. For you have done mighty things in our lives. Thank you for holding us and keeping us and never letting us go. You are good. And your mercy endures forever. We celebrate that today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Isn't he worthy? Isn't he worthy? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Barak him. As you prepare to leave, remember to worship in your giving. If you are not using the electronic formats, there's a basket over here. Again, we are asking people to quickly move out. I know we want to fellowship. We want to spend time with each other. But we want to continue to be as safe as possible. I know it's a little cool outside, but, you know, please exit as quickly as possible. You can use the exit here. We're not using the back exits. We're asking people to leave either side. And I think somebody's going to come and open this door for you. If you are in need of prayer, there's opportunities to pray over in room 104, 105, which is through these doors. Again, please be safe. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Continue to practice distance. We want to be able to do this as long as we can. And so, Just so grateful for your obedience today. And to all of you who are out there, we love you. We miss you. We look forward to seeing your face again. Grace and peace. You are dismissed.